America and the World. This is Mark Mann, Cross America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We spent the first hour of the show talking about a couple of very important news stories as it relates to things of a Zionistic nature. Justin Raimondo has a very fine piece today. Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative. It's entitled AIPAC on Trial. The lobby, the Israeli lobby, argues that good Americans spy for Israel. Are Steve Rosen and Keith Weissman going to be convicted? We certainly hope so. We'll keep an eye on this story as it unfolds, beginning with the start of that trial on June 7th. But the Justin Raimondo piece is essential reading in terms of understanding what's going on behind the scenes, as a lot of people want to keep this thing buried in regard to what AIPAC has been up to and being a liaison between certain spies for Israel working in the American government on the one hand, and the full-blown Israeli intelligence community on the other. Then we were going back to something that we briefly mentioned yesterday from the Australian Jewish News, talking about Nicolas Sarkozy's Jewish roots. The very bottom page or bottom paragraph of this article, which I have posted at Breaking All the Rules News as of yesterday, really cinches what I think is most significant about this whole business of Nicolas Sarkozy. He's definitely a globalist. He will definitely push to get France completely back on track in regard to the European Union. But according to the Australian Jewish News, one significant policy modification that could actually come through under him is on the Syrian and Lebanese fronts. The new French president is not as friendly to Lebanon as was his predecessor. As a minister of the interior, Nicolas Sarkozy shared much common policy ground with former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The two started to develop a close friendship not long ago, and it is easy to observe similarities not only in their ideology and politics, but also in their public image. If Netanyahu returns to Israel's chief position, it will be interesting to see whether their personal dynamic will lead to a fresh start for Israel and France and a more constructive European role in the region. That's the Australian Jewish News today. And I think, folks, we can read between the lines, or not necessarily even have to read between the lines, to see what this portends in regard to France's policy in the Middle East, what it's going to mean in the days ahead as well in regard to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. We have a very special guest today. I'd like to introduce her now. If you have not seen before WeAreWideAwake.org, I urge you to turn to it. It is quite a website. Eileen Fleming of WeAreWideAwake.org is the senior correspondent for that publication. I want to talk to her today about her career in journalism, some of the specific things that she is most interested in right now in regard to research and coverage, and speak with her a little bit as well about how We Are Wide Awake began from its inception. Eileen, how are you?
I'm great, and thank you so much for this opportunity, and thank you to Mark Glenn for punting me to you. Thank you very much.
Well, yes, Mark Glenn is a great friend of mine. I have the utmost respect for Mark, of course. He's a regular on this show on Friday mornings from 9 to 10 o'clock in the morning central. I followed Mark for a long time, both with Crescent and Cross and now with the American Free Press. And virtually anyone that Mark suggests to me is someone who's going to get on this show, because he always hits the mark in regard to the people that he recommends, and I'm confident that that's going to be the case again here this morning. In regard to We Are Wide Awake, Eileen, mm-hmm. How did it begin, and what is its basic orientation?
Well, I tell you, I was laughing as you were introducing me. For my career in journalism began with this July, almost 2 years ago, and it came from, I've always been a bit of a writer, but not seriously speaking out. Do you have to go to
commercial? We'll be back.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be back, and we'll pick it up from there when we return to Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to have an extended conversation this morning with Eileen Fleming, the senior correspondent and editor of WeAreWideAwake.org. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Mark and Cost America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Eileen Fleming, the senior correspondent and editor of WeAreWideAwake.org. Eileen, we were just getting started in regard to talking about your life and the development of your career in journalism, doing this sort of thing. Let's pick it up from there.
Yes, well, as my website will explain to you, when I was a child, I did truly want to grow up and be Brenda Starr, but it was one of those things in childhood you just forget. But it came to fruition after my first journey to Israel-Palestine, which was in June of 2005. And where that came from, everything for me starts again here at 9/11. I truly woke up and did not react as the nation did. I was not afraid. I was very curious as to what would drive people to do such an act. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. There are reasons for this that we still do not know. We probably will never know. And I also, because I am a Christian, and a Christian of the Beatitudes is how I describe myself, not of an institution, the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, they are the children of God, and the only way to resist evil is with good, and we must love, we must forgive. So I wanted to do something good and was led to a interfaith 501c in Orlando that was founded as a response to 9/11, Palestinian Muslim man, a refugee from the Galilee in 48, brought together Christians, Jews, and other Muslims and founded the Olive Trees Foundation for Peace, which is dedicated to raising awareness about the wall and also to help replant somewhere between the 1 to 2 million trees that have been uprooted and destroyed because of the illegal wall, which the International Court of Justice has deemed illegal, must come down. And we American taxpayers are providing 1.5 million per mile to build that wall. And it's absolute abomination. It's when I was there the last time in Jerusalem, I went with Jeff Halper on, I think your audience is probably aware of Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions. And what he
I had said, Jeff on the show several months ago, yes.
Okay, and what he said is, it has been said that the Israelis do not really love this land, they just want to control it. And this is truly it in a nutshell. It is all about control, but I'm getting ahead of my story. When I went the first time, I became a member of the Olive Trees Foundation for Peace, and we have so far raised about, oh, I think 35,000 olive trees and other trees have been now planted in Israel, Palestine through donations from America. This season we've been focused on Gaza, and when I went the first time, I did not know that I did not know. I had not taken a side. I truly was in the middle between the Jewish and the Muslim founders of this. We, 10 of us went over there. And through the Galilee, you would think you could be any place pretty much in America. But when you got, when I got to the little town of Bethlehem, which is occupied territory, I just had this true awakening. I went and visited Dahesha, one of the refugee camps. I sat with the father of, I think you would remember, Iliat. I cannot really say the name, but it was, she was the first female homicide-suicide bomber, and listened to her father tell his side of the story that we never heard in America. Met with the father of Johnny, the 17-year-old altar boy who was shot, cold-bloodedly murdered, at the Church of the Nativity in the square. Just these stories that we do not hear in America, and as I'm experiencing these and meeting these people, I'm thinking nothing happens without a reason. Everything happens for a reason, and it so impacted me. And I was writing everything down. I had not at that time done anything more than had a journal for my own personal, I never shared it with anybody, and an occasional letter to the editor. Well, when I, the day I went to Hebron, and if you, this Hebron is, I went, do your audience know about Jerry Levin? He's a full-time Christian Peacemaker Team volunteer, and in the 1980s, he was CNN's Mideast Bureau Chief in Lebanon. He was captured by the Hezbollah and held, he was a secular Jew. He was held for nearly a year, and that Christmas Eve he had a mystical experience of Christ. And shortly thereafter, the door to his room was left unlocked and he escaped. And he and his wife, they're in their 70s, they have dedicated themselves to that part of the land. Jerry works in Hebron with Christian Peacemaker Teams, and his wife, Sis, works with the children in Bethlehem, teaching the children and the teachers, how do you nonviolently resist occupation, just as what Jesus did. So this day I went to Hebron, and Hebron, I write about it all the time because I cannot get it out of my mind. There's about 450 illegal settlers, because any settlers in the West Bank are considered illegal under international law. And Hebron was a Palestinian town, village, thriving, and it was absolutely horrific, my experience there. It was the most painful, oppressive place I have ever been. There's 3,000 Israeli soldiers that supposedly protect the settlers who are totally out of control. There's lots of videos all over the web. You can see these settlers. And in fact, if you click on my website, you can even go under the best links and go to school in Palestine. It's a PowerPoint of what the children must do to try to get to school, what we are teaching these children. And then that afternoon, after being in Hebron, I went with a friend I met on the internet. We were going to dinner, and we stopped in at St. George's Cathedral, and we met Mordecai Vanunu. And I had the opportunity, I'm sure your listeners are aware, he's 21 years ago blew the whistle on Israel's weapons of mass destruction program, spent 18 years in jail, most of it in solitary, was released April 2004, but has been held under the British Mandate Emergency Regulations. He's not to speak to foreigners, media, cannot leave the country. Basically house arrest, and he reminds me of the prophet Jeremiah, who also spent most of his life in Jerusalem under house arrest. Well, listening to Vanunu, and I had known, did not know very much about him, only heard his name, really, as I was researching for my first book, Keep Hope Alive, which is based on the memoirs of Dr. Khaled Diab, the founder of the Olive Trees Foundation for Peace, who was a 1948 refugee from the Upper Galilee, came to America, put himself through university, obtained a position in the defense industry with top secret clearance during the Cold War, and after so many years of a very lucrative career, decided he wanted to go back to the Middle East and do some good. So he and about 12 other Arab Americans went back over there. This is in the days before, way before cell phones, and tried to establish the AT&T of the Middle East. But due to the corruption in the Arab states, he got nowhere, but he gave it a good shot. Came back to America, and eventually, what happened after 9/11, established the Olive Trees Foundation for Peace. So as I am researching to fill in on his memoirs, I ran across this incredible story of Vanunu, and had not intended at all to meet him because an Arab Palestinian American told me, you know, he's not allowed to speak to foreigners, you'll get him in trouble. So I thought, okay, I won't track him down, but Jerusalem is a very small town. And that day after going to Hebron is the afternoon that I ran into Vanunu, and the next couple of days we had a few dinners, and he told me his story, which is in both of my books. I was writing fiction at the time when I met him in June, so I just put his story, interacted with a fictional character, but my newest book, Memoirs of a Nice Irish American Girl's Life in Occupied Territory, updates from what happened in from June of 2005, and Mark Glenn did an article, spoke with him last week, because he has been convicted of 14 out of 14 or 15 counts against him for speaking to foreign media, who have totally neglected him during this trial. They've not done any follow-up. And he will find out on the 18th as how much time he will spend going back to jail. And I do have a guilty conscience, I have to admit, because when I was there last March, I taped 30 minutes with Vanunu, and it is, and it still is, it's streaming on my website. And the intention was to raise awareness and also funds for his defense. There is no American campaign, there's no more, there's just no fundraising apparatus for Vanunu. He speaks for himself, very independent, very unique individual. And I do hope your viewers, readers, whoever is hearing us, will check the site, listen to the 30 minutes, listen to Vanunu, and if you're so moved, drop him an email, and a donation would be most appreciated to his defense fund.
Yes, you know, I was struck by the fact that several years ago, when I had taken some flack in certain conservative quarters for reviewing Michael Collins Piper's book, Final Judgment, which deals with the Mossad connection to the assassination of JFK, that at that time Mordecai Vanunu basically indicated, among many other things, that the Israeli Mossad, in fact, had assassinated John Kennedy, and that it was directly related to Ben-Gurion's desire to keep the Dimona program from ever seeing the light of day. So this guy Mordecai Vanunu has even given us something, it seems to me, we've not had before, and that is a better historical explanation of what actually happened on November the 22nd, 1963. We'll be back with Eileen Fleming, the senior correspondent and editor of WeAreWideAwake.org when Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Eileen Fleming, the editor and senior correspondent for WeAreWideAwake.org. We were talking a little bit about Mordecai Vanunu before the break. Eileen, when you talked to him, what was your impression of him in terms of his general outlook at this particular point? Was he discouraged, encouraged? Was he depressed? Was he at all hopeful about anything? What was your perception?
The last conversations I had with Vanunu were in November last year, and his brother Mayor, who's been a supporter since the very beginning, was also there, and Vanunu was in excellent mood and spirits, not at all depressed when I saw him. Of course, he must have situational depression just for the situation he's in, but he's a very strong man, and he does not he does not speak of being discouraged. He's very realistic about the situation. He is a Christian, and I think that, to me, is the most incredible thing about him, one of the most incredible things about him, is because after he shot those two rolls of film way back in 86 and did not develop them at the time, then he was a secular Jew, agnostic, existentialist. He was into philosophy, and he even wanted to be a hermit back then. He was quite a unique, solitary man even then. So it seems to me he was well-equipped to be able to withstand what he has withstood these last 21 years. My husband is a doctor, and I know psychiatrists and psychologists, and without mentioning Vanunu's name, I've explained to them what Vanunu told me, what he had to endure, especially those first 2 years of captivity, where he was not ever allowed to sleep. They kept a light on in his cell constantly, a camera on him. They kept noise going all the time to irritate him, and if he ever did have the opportunity to doze off, a guard would come in and with a bright light, a flashlight, and shine it into his eyes to make sure he had not committed suicide yet. So, of course, this was the encouraging, what they were encouraging him to do. Just a horrific situation, being kidnapped by your own government and drugged and, you know, bound and flung on a cargo ship, and they not, of course, giving him any information or a lawyer, and interrogate him without sleep. And what I am told by the medical people I've spoken to, that anybody who goes through such a treatment with some people 3 hours, but 3 days to a week maximum, you would have a break with reality. So it's really quite remarkable, miraculous, I say. Vanunu did not have a break with reality until his case, his appeal was thrown out, which was like 3 years into his solitary confinement. And just a few weeks before he was kidnapped by the Mossad, he was baptized a Christian, and he said he really did not know what he was doing. Doing that, he just felt compelled to do that and wanted to start a new life, and he had gotten involved. He had found his way to Australia. He was involved with an Episcopal social justice church, and shared with them, you know, the story of the photos, and one thing led to another. Just for the fact that here he is baptized a Christian right before this ordeal, but he said it was not until he was in prison that he began to read the New Testament, and what he would do is he would read it out loud every day. He would start, you know, at the beginning and read all the way through Revelation and begin again. He would read the Book of Common Prayer. He hours and hours every day he would read out loud to the camera. So he said, you know, he did it for himself, of course. He was praying out loud for himself, but he was also doing it to drive them nuts, because the unpardonable sin to many Jews is to convert to Christianity. And this, I believe, and Vanunu has said, this is the reason for the continued persecution against him. It's because he is a Christian. When he was in prison, they would try to get him to, you know, they were going to give him parole, let him out, if he would denounce his Christianity, and he wouldn't do it. So no doubt God has put his hand on this man and got him through, and I just felt so incredibly, also that God had put his hand on me to run into Vanunu and get this historical story from him, just to meet him, because it really was meeting him, because before I met him, my impression was he was going to be some big, crazy, mean guy, and he's not at all. He's no taller than I am, and I'm not even 5'4". He's very soft-spoken. He's got a very good sense of humor, but of course then he also has, just as anybody, we can be distant and withdrawn. It just depends on his mood. But he is quite a remarkable man, and I do hope your listeners will listen to him on the 30 Minutes. It's basically about the human rights abuse that he has endured. And keep him in your prayers, and send him an email of encouragement, because, as I said, on the 18th, he should know if he's going to go back to jail and for how long, for speaking his mind, for talking to media.
Yeah, and even if he doesn't go to jail, one has the definite impression that the Israelis will never let him outside that country. We'll see.
Yeah.
This is Mark Ancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Eileen Fleming, senior correspondent and editor of WeAreWideAwake.org. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Eileen Fleming, the senior correspondent and editor of WeAreWideAwake.org. Eileen, looking at your site, there's a lot of fascinating stuff on there, I hasten to say. And going down the page, one of the things that really strikes me is the reproduction of a map there. There we see in four stages the pictorial evidence that there has been an incredible thing that has happened in Palestine from 1946 to 2005. This map on the left-hand side, of course, shows all of the Palestinian land in green that existed in 1946. Then the next stage shows the UN partition plan of 1947, which divided the land approximately, as I'm remembering this now, correct me if I'm wrong, 51% Jewish, 49% Palestinian, something to that effect. Then the third stage takes us from 1949 to 1967, where the Palestinian percentage of that property, of course, continues to shrink. And then finally, we're in 2005, where on in that map we see that the Palestinians have a sliver of Gaza and a few isolated cantons in the West Bank. And for the most part, again, going from 1946 to 2005, it would be very reasonable to say, and I think it is the case, that they have been systematically stiffed and shut out of the process. And yet when it comes to the United States and to the American people, we don't seem to understand the extent of the plight of these people. Neither do we understand the level of resentment against us, both in that exists both in Palestine and throughout the Islamic world generally, for what we have supported over there. Why do you think that is?
Well, first of all, I would like to say two things. AIPAC is all about Israel and not about America. And we've gotten, you know, in 1948, all this, the religion got caught up in it. You know, Zionism was not started as a religious movement. It was to have a peaceful dwelling place for, you know, Israelis, for Jews. And that is that they do not have that because Israel was not ever established on justice. It was not a just thing. Why did the Palestinians have to pay the sins of Hitler? I just have never understood the whole situation, why it was done this way, except for the fact that American, our government foreign policy is not democratic. Outside, you know, foreign policy is not democratic. Congress takes AIPAC trips, but I don't know how many of them have ever bothered to go to occupied territory to see the other side of the wall. I've got big issues with Hillary Clinton. I won't get into that right now. But this is the problem, is our Congress people have not seen what occupation is like for those who are being occupied. Occupiers lose their humanity. It's just that this is just human nature. It just gets out of control. And if America had not supplied Israel with, I think it's over $100 billion U.S. dollars and weapons of destruction at bargain basement prices, and something like 60 vetoes not to reprimand Israel in the U.N., constant, one thing after another, blind allegiance to Israel, and denying the human rights to the Palestinians. This is the problem. Tony Blair even said 70% of the problems with world terrorism can be traced back to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It is because America has not been an honest broker in the peace plan. It's truly it's empire building during the Cold War when the Russia was knitting together the Arab states, their alliance, America, of course, united with Israel, and it has, it's like we are joined at the hip here. And AIPAC to me is very dangerous because they are pro-Israel, but they are not pro-America. And until Americans understand we are so culpable in this conflict here, and this is the route that needs to be addressed. We are in the 40th year of occupation. International law states occupation is to be temporary. Maintain the status quo, not transfer your population into the occupied territories, and not pilfer their resources. And of course, Israel has done all of what against international law. They have just totally refuted it, denied it, and America has let it go. So this is the problem why some people in the world hate us. And at the time 9/11 happened, it was a few. We are in such a situation now because of this empire building that it's mind-blowing, really. But I have good news, because the nonviolent international solidarity movement is just it's growing just by leaps and bounds. We are connected on the Internet. So my news I get from sources on the ground. I get it from in the International Solidarity Movement. I get my news from Anarchists Against the Wall. I get it from the people there on the ground, living there, doing something, challenging the empire. And internationals are coming together this summer because of the situation in Gaza has just gotten so horrific with the human, you know, it's a humanitarian crisis. It has been. The disengagement in 05 was really just a redeployment. Israel never gave up full control of land, air, sea borders. And what? Why not? International law also states occupied people have the right to rise up violently. That's international law. They can rise up against their occupiers. I support and am connected with those who champion nonviolent resistance, which is what Jesus taught, which is Gandhi, King, you know, any great social change against this type of hegemony and empire building is done with nonviolent resistance. So this is the good news, that because of the internet and the global frustration with the empire, I think things are happening in June in D.C. We will once again march to end the occupation. And this summer, internationals are sending a boatload of supplies into Gaza. Who knows if they'll make it, but just to challenge the empire is the thing, because these people in Gaza are just suffering horrendously. It's horrific. And we in America do not know because of our media.
Well, that's exactly right. And before we get into that question of who it is that's controlling the American media, I was going to observe that it seems to me that there are a couple of different constituencies that are coalescing in opposition to what Israel is doing and in opposition to what the Israeli lobby is doing in this country. On the one hand, we have people, and I think you're one of them, Eileen, who are very legitimately concerned about what all of this represents morally when we are party to what has clearly been the ongoing slow twisting in the wind of the Palestinians that has occurred since 1946. And what has occurred, it seems to me, in the context of what we can say is a genocide that has transpired. When you look at this map and see these daily pictures that continue to come from there, from Gaza and from the West Bank, day-to-day reports of what the Israeli occupation forces are doing in that country. So on the one hand, we have those who, from a Christian perspective or otherwise, are looking at what has been going on in Palestine since 1946, and they're saying, hey, this is atrocious. These are genocidal policies. This is brutality beyond human description. We simply should have no part in this or with this. Mm-hmm. So you've got that constituency. Then it seems to me there's another constituency that is developing, and this involves those who say, hey, you look at this AIPAC spy trial that's getting ready to take place on June 7th. Raimondo's piece today for Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative comes to mind in this regard. And many of us look at that and say, hey, we not only don't like what this represents morally in regard to what's happened to the Palestinians, but now we have, just as we had it with the Pollard spy case, just as we had it with the Levon affair, just as we had it with the USS Liberty, another piece of the puzzle which suggests and which proves that the Israeli lobby and AIPAC specifically are pursuing the interest of a foreign power to the exclusion of the interest of the people of the United States. Mm-hmm. And so when you put the moral issues in their perspective with what's been done to the Palestinians, and then you add to that this sense that there is a foreign lobby operating in the midst of this country that is ripping us off, that heightens the stakes, it seems to me, in this. And then those stakes have been heightened even further by the fact that the United States provably has become involved in this war in Iraq and is now talking about attacking Iran, largely at the behest of Jewish neoconservatives with direct ties to the government of Israel, where it would appear to the average American who learns about these things that the Israeli government has maneuvered the executive and legislative branches of the United States government into a position where the armed forces of this country are being used as a surrogate janissary force for Israel. And when you look at the dimensions of this as they continue to build, the moral horror that this presents in terms of what has happened to the Palestinian people, then the whole issue of dual loyalty and the fact that America has been short-shrifted in this relationship with Israel, and then add to that the fact that not only are billions of dollars flowing from the United States to Israel in this whole process, but now the blood of our own sons and mm-hmm. daughters is mixed up in this mess. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that when you take all of this together in tandem, that the Israeli lobby must be pretty nervous about their continued ability to have this kind of a grip upon the American mind and psyche.
I totally agree with everything you just said, and I think they've got to be nervous because we've got the internet, and this is how we, the people of the world, communicate. You know, these boundaries that supposedly civilized man has drawn up to divide us—they only exist in, you know, on a piece of paper. They're not it's one world, one human race. And I have great hope, and I know that the big part of it derives from my Christianity. My relationship with Christ is, he was never a Christian. The term was not coined until the day of Paul, but Jesus was a social justice, radical, revolutionary, Palestinian, devout Jewish.
Oh, come on. Jesus would have voted for Pat Robertson? No, go ahead.
What we've got here in the West, the Western brand of Christianity is nothing like the Christianity that the Palestinians in the 21st century, they are nonviolent. They are doing what Jesus did. They remain nonviolent. There has never yet been one Palestinian Christian to strap on a bomb. They have not done it. They have remained nonviolent. And I'm connected also with Sabeel. Do your audience know about the liberation? It's a theological liberation movement, and we have Friends of Sabeel in North America, and they put together reality tours. And I've been on a couple of them, and it's ecumenical Christians, you know, internationals. But I, of course, am with the Friends of Sabeel North America, and we meet with the Christians in Israel and Palestine. We go to occupied territory. We get the news that our media neglects, and these Christians truly are doing first century Christianity before, you know, the days of Constantine when Christianity was legitimized and, you know, then the just war theory and all of this corruption of what Jesus was all about. You must forgive, you must love, you must do good, not bomb, torture, and occupy people. So these people, and that's another thing I did want to state, it's the people there do not hate we American people. That is not the sense I got anywhere from anybody. And I went to some very impoverished Muslim villages, and this is what I was told. We do not like your government, but we do not hate American people. So, you know, there's still so much hope. It's the government that they still can see clearly. It's this government and it's empire. And to me, this is what Jesus did. He rose up, challenged the temple authority, teaching the people they didn't need ritual baths and sacrificing livestock to be okay with God. He loved them as they were, sinners, oppressed, occupied people. And, you know, he disturbed the status quo of the Roman occupying forces of his time. That's what got him crucified. Here we are now in the 21st century. The international solidarity movement is also challenging the corruption of the empire in controlling and oppressing and occupying people. That's what gives me hope.
Yes, and you know, as we talk about this, it seems to me that there's a strange metaphor that I see emerging in this whole business. Years ago, I would have never seen this because I was marching to the same drummer as the rest of the folks in the country in regard to this Middle Eastern thing for many, many years until I began to travel a little bit more and also began to encounter through the internet, as you point out, Eileen, all of these sources of information that contradicted what I had been led to believe mm-hmm. that I could not confute. Mm-hmm. So, but as I think about this metaphor, it gets back to the map on your website. I see the plight of the Palestinian people being depicted in regard to these maps. The implications of what's on these maps is very obvious at this point. And when I think of what has been happening to the Palestinian people in a strange way, I think you can make the case that this is what has been happening slowly but surely to the American people. We are seeing the slow, ongoing destruction of our middle class. Mm-hmm. We are seeing more and more people with excruciating levels of personal debt that they can't handle because of the nature of our economy. We're seeing the ongoing attempts on the part of the Bush administration, of course, through the USA Patriot Acts and the Military Commissions Act of 2006 to promote certain police state thinking in regard to freedom of expression. More and more of our kids are being shipped out for a military conflict that could get worse. And it just goes on and on. And it seems to me that there may be a lot more in common between the Palestinians and the average American than maybe we've realized before in regard to the fact that the forces that have produced such horror in Palestine halfway around the world are producing a lot of the same problems in this country that are putting the squeeze on our own people.
Well, this is all very, very true, and a big part of it, of course, comes back to our media, which is not, you know, before 9/11, I thought the media was on our side, was there to, you know, challenge government and report and seek out the truth. And one of the things, you've got a commercial.
Yes, you've caught on to that wonderful music in the background, Eileen. We'll be back to talk about the news media. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be joined by Eileen Fleming, the senior correspondent and editor of WeAreWideAwake.org, when we return. Stay tuned.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Back. This is Mark Antos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Eileen Fleming, the senior correspondent and editor of WeAreWideAwake.org. And we have a caller, Bill in Alaska. You're on the line for Eileen Fleming. Go ahead, Bill.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Eileen. Greetings from the Great White North.
Thank you. Good morning.
I just wanted to take the opportunity, Mark, to congratulate you for having such a great guest on. I was actually in Eileen's website earlier this morning, maybe 3 or 4 hours ago. And as you know, I put out a blog, and as a result of her website, I ended up republishing an article about the Palestinian people and the destruction, bulldozing of the center there for the disabled children, and I that's not the first time I've ever been in her website. I've found it to be just an invaluable resource, and I figured I would kill two birds with one stone this morning and congratulate you for having such a great guest, and then take the same opportunity to thank her for all the hard work that she does out there and for the resources that she's given the rest of us out here.
Thank you.
Yes, and I, as long as we're plugging Eileen's website, Bill, which is an entirely legitimate thing to do, I wanted to mention that at Breaking All the Rules News, even as I speak, if people go to BATR this morning, they will discover that there is a front page story there in the main news page about Eileen Fleming and about WeAreWideAwake.org, complete with her picture, and a link to her site, and a link to my archives, where people who are not listening to this online will have the opportunity later to listen to it after the fact. So I think the more we get the word out on what Eileen is doing, the more we're not only helping Eileen, but we're helping a lot of other people whose plight is being publicized by Eileen. And this gets us back, I think, full circle to this whole power of the internet. What you're doing up there with your Alaska Intel report, Bill, is being mirrored by what Eileen's doing with WeAreWideAwake.org. Obviously, Mark Lund's a part of this with Crescent and Cross. We've got the Republic Broadcasting Network and the American Free Press, and the list just goes on and on in regard to the proliferation of responsible sources of information that are not controlled by the media elites, who obviously have a vested interest in trying to keep the lid on this.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ellen.
No, you go, Bill.
No, I just wanted to, I was just agreeing with him, as I usually do. There's very few things he says on there that I don't agree with. But, yeah, it amazes me. The more that I dig and the more that I get around the net, you know, it's your place and Mark Lenz and RBN and Eileen's and mine and a ton of others out there. But, you know, eventually, little by little, the truth is coming out. And I just was sitting here looking at an email that I got in response to my blog this morning from a guy that goes to Israel regularly. And you know, basically, the last sentence in the paragraph said, "We're certainly not anti-Semitic, but we are for freedom."
Yeah, if you got time, hold on, Bill. We'll get you on again after the break. This is Mark Antos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Joined today by Eileen Fleming, the senior correspondent and editor of WeAreWideAwake.org. We'll be back. Stay tuned.